this from your heart to the Lord right now? Would you say, Lord, please speak to my heart through the message today and draw me closer to you. Lord, speak to my heart today through the message and draw me closer to you. Would you say that to the Lord? Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to today, filled with your spirit. Simply means controlled completely with your spirit. And lastly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. True big G God, right? There's only one true God. But today we're going to look at this God. Probably it'll be a two-part message, I imagine, unless you want to be here till about 2 o'clock. Anybody here want to be here till 2 o'clock? All right, God bless your heart, Larry. I appreciate that. The rest of them want to go eat before that. But we're going to be looking at reasons to praise God. Reasons to praise God. Now, this is kind of like one of those messages kind of between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We're thankful, but we're not quite ready to get into all the Christmas messages in particular. You might call it reasons to praise God or reasons why our God is truly the God of the year. If you turn to your Bibles in Psalm 145. Now, I do not believe that we can go wrong bragging on and talking about our God. Do you? Isn't that why we're gathered together? So really, today as a Christian, as you are here today, those that have trusted Jesus as our Savior, I hope as you leave today, as I've said before, I don't want you to leave and think in your mind, boy, didn't he do a good job? Now, I appreciate any positives you can share. If you can think of anything good, that's always a good thing. But that's not why we're here. We're not here because the preacher's a good preacher. We're not here because isn't he such an eloquent speaker. We're here because of God. So as you leave today, I hope that you think in your heart and your mind and in your being, guess what? We have a great God. If you're here today and you say, I don't know that God. I'm not saved. I do not know the God of the universe. You know, you can know him in a personal way through his son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, born in Bethlehem. We celebrate at Christmas, lived a perfect life, died upon the cross to pay for my sins and to pay for your sins, was placed in a borrowed tomb for 3 days, and then resurrected back to life. So if you're here today and you say, I don't know Jesus as Savior, I hope that you listen so closely You determine in your heart that you want to know this God, that you want to serve this God. Psalm 145. We're gonna read this. Now, this psalm is titled A Psalm of Praise, if you'll notice in your Bible, A Psalm of Praise. This is the only psalm in the whole book of Psalms that's entitled that way, A Psalm of Praise. Now, in this psalm, you'll see it, five different times the word praise is used. And you'll notice, if you pay real close attention in your own time as you read Psalm 145 through the end of the chapter, through Psalm 150, the word praise is used 46 times. Some call this the grand doxology, or the grand praising of God as you get near the end of the book of Psalms. But if you would follow along, beginning with verse 1, Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King. And I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day, notice that, every day will I bless thee. And I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible, that means awesome, acts. And I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. They shall speak of the glory of thy kingdom and talk of thy power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. The Lord upholdeth all that fall, and raises up all those that be bowed down. The eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desires of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. You know, as I read that psalm, you can't help but notice how good our God is. You know, there's a lot of people that are serving false gods around us. Now, a lot of those little g false gods are in the form of things like their car, their house, their bank account, materialism, pleasure, and all of those things. But some people actually worship other gods that they think are real. Can I tell you, we live in an age where people want to say, well, it doesn't matter, that's all the same God. The God of the Muslims is the same God of the Bible. Can I tell you that that's nothing but a lie from the devil? The God of the various religions are not the right God. This is the only God found in the Bible, this book that God wrote. And this chapter describes this God. You see, a lot of people have the mistaken, I want to say this, some people have the mistaken idea that it really doesn't matter what God you believe in. It really doesn't matter what church you go to. It really doesn't matter what you believe as long as you are sincere. Can I tell you, you can be sincere, but yet sincerely wrong, and miss the only way to heaven through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But as I read this chapter, I am bowled over at the greatness of our God. I'm bowled over at all these reasons that we're given that our God is the God among all little g gods. He is the big G God. First of all, I find in this chapter, and we're going to kind of dissect it and go through it and look at all the different places it talks about our God and His qualities, and we'll not get through all of them, but we'll get through a few of them today, and we'll continue and unplug today and then continue some other time. First of all, I want you to notice that the God of this Bible is eternal. He is eternal. Now, let me ask you a question. We're going to look at where it says that, but what good would it do you to serve a God who was not eternal? You know, the folks who says, well, Muhammad, he's the guy. He is the one we need to worship and all of the great things that he has done. Can I tell you that Muhammad died and his bones were buried somewhere? His soul and spirit went to live somewhere. If he didn't trust Jesus, he's in hell right now. But guess what? The only one that conquered death is the God of the Bible. Through his son Jesus, who is God himself also, he has conquered death. Our God is eternal. What if our God was non-eternal? We'd say, well, he's good today, but he might die tomorrow. I'd be a basket case, wouldn't you? I'd be wondering, well, I wonder if our God will make it through the end of the week. Because he's been around an awful long time. But our God is eternal. That means he has no beginning and he has no end. He will go on forever and ever and ever. I want you to notice the different times it talks about forever and ever and everlasting and all in this chapter. In verse 1, it says, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name. How long? Forever and ever. What good will it do you to try to worship something that's not there? In other words, our praise will be forever and ever, and our God will be forever and ever. Verse 2, every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name. There it is again. How long? Forever and ever. Drop down to verse 13. It says, talking about our God, thy kingdom is an, what kind of kingdom? Everlasting kingdom. And it says, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Drop down to verse 21. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name. How long? Forever and ever. I am so thankful that the God of the Bible is an eternal God with no beginning and no ending. You know, sometimes we get ready to put up our Christmas lights and we get our Christmas lights out and they're all in a mess. You ever done that? You can't find the beginning and you can't find the ending of that string of lights. Anybody ever have that problem? And sometimes you just wonder, how in the world could these lights get so tangled up? I'm thankful that truly, truly, those string of lights have a beginning and an ending, whether you can find them or not. But I'm thankful that the God that I serve, the God of this Bible, has no beginning and has no ending. Or else you and I would be living a life of chance. I hope he doesn't die. I hope he doesn't leave. I hope that he doesn't kick the bucket because he's getting old, you know. Number two, not only is our God eternal, verse 3. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. And then it says, and his greatness is unsearchable. Verse 6, it says, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible, that means awesome, acts, and I will declare thy greatness. You know, the God of the Bible, the God that we serve, is a great God. It says that his greatness is unsearchable. Do you realize that the greatness of God is beyond your pea brain and my pea brain's ability to comprehend how great he is? You see, he is superior to all other gods. He is in quality and in character. He is greater than any other little g god. I remember, how many of you, you're going to date yourself a little bit. I don't know if he still does this as much, but I remember growing up, there was a character on television called Tony the Tiger. Y'all remember Tony the Tiger? How many of you remember Tony the Tiger? Okay, well, most of you. That's good. Now, on the count of three, can you tell me what Tony the Tiger was known to say? One, two, three.
Great.
Yeah. He would say, they're great, right? What was he talking about? Does anybody remember? Kellogg's Frosted Flakes. Exactly right. If Tony the Tiger, which I think he's a pretty cool dude myself, but if Tony the Tiger can stand and boldly proclaim that Kellogg's Frosted Flakes are great, don't you think that you and I can get a little bit, just a little bit excited about how great our God is?
Amen.
Our God is great. As I've been saying lately, it seems like I've made this statement several times lately. Our God did not have to be the God that he is. I mean, you realize that God is so far above us, right? In every way. But even God being a God out there, the God, he could have said, you know what, I'm God over all things, but I'm going to be a bad God. I'm going to be an evil God. I'm going to be a little tiny God, but the God of the Bible is a great God. I'm thankful that the God of the Bible, the God that I serve, the God whose heart I've given my heart to him and said, here I am, I'll serve you, you are my priority. That God, first of all, is an eternal God, and secondly, that God is a great God. You know, sometimes we get carried away and enamored with people, right? And we say, like, that's a great leader, or that's a great speaker, or he's just a great guy. You know, it's almost laughable how in comparison the greatness of man is compared to the greatness of God. And as I said, it's really beyond, the Bible says his greatness is unsearchable. It doesn't mean we shouldn't seek after to know his greatness in our hearts, in our lives, in our families, in our churches, in our communities, absolutely. But we'll never fully comprehend it until we get to heaven. Maybe at that point we'll comprehend the full greatness of our God. Again, if you're a child of God, I hope at least on the inside you're going, yeah! You know, like you cheer at those football games on the inside. Yeah! Man, that was quite a game last night, wasn't it? I'll tell you, I'll confess, I get so frustrated at West Virginia sports. I'm a Mountaineer fan. But about the time, and the family will attest to this, about the time that Baylor was driving in the last little bit of the game, and it looked like it was... I was like, I've had enough. I got better ways to spend my time. And I went upstairs and got ready for bed, and they got Jason, I think yelled, "Dad!" I said, "What? Come down! I think we're going to win." So I ran down. It's frustrating, but we get so into these games. Wouldn't it be something if we got so into God? I mean, I get into it. I get excited. I watch high school football games. I get in. I cheer. And I really don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I'm just saying, wouldn't it be great if we could cheer for our God, at least on the inside, and say he's great. He's a great God. You know, we've honestly let the Pentecostals and Charismatics rob us sometimes. You know, really, I mean, they take things, I think, the wrong way biblically. I do not believe that today we speak in tongues because we have the Bible. It's all the truth that we need, okay? I believe that's very biblical. It's not the topic of the message today. If you disagree, that's all right. I'm a big boy. I can handle it. But guess what? Guess what? We've let the charismatics with their hoopla and all that sometimes rob us, and we're afraid to show any emotion at all. And you got to know who that's coming from. You know, when people ask me to raise my hand to the Lord, I get a little uncomfortable because I didn't grow up in that way of worshiping God. So you got to understand where that's coming from. But I believe if we're not careful, we'll have an amen on the inside, but like, oh, I don't want anybody, you know, I don't want anybody to think I'm a little bit over the top. You know, I don't want to raise my hand. I don't want anybody to think I'm over the top. I don't want them to think I'm a charismatic, or I don't want them to think I'm this, that, and that. Folks, if we can't get excited about God, what in the world can we get excited about? And I'm not talking about fabricating it. You know, like, okay, I'm going to fabricate it, and I'm going to jump up and really not mean it, but I want everybody to look at that. That's wrong. But coming from a true, sincere heart, our God is eternal. Our God is great. And we're just scratching the surface. Let's keep going. Thirdly, our God is active. Our God is active. You say, Do you realize, you say, what's the big deal about our God being active? Do you realize that our God could be a God that is just kind of sleeping on the job? You ever see anybody sleeping on the job? I'm sure there's a lot of people that sleep on the job. Our God could be a God that sleeps on the job, right? He doesn't have to be an active God in our lives. He doesn't have to be an active God in our world. But our God chooses to be an active God for every single one of us. You know, God keeps track of us. God knows how many hairs are on your head, right? He knows what you're thinking right now. He knows what your motivation in life is. God knows what your priority is. God is orchestrating your life. If you'll only let him take control, he's got your best interest in mind. He's got a plan for your life. He is an active God. As you've heard me say before, I know at least one group, the deists of the past, I don't know if we still have any deists today, we probably do, but they think God just kind of made the world, created the world, wound it up, and then he just went AWOL. And then here we're on our own. Boy, that'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? We are not on our own. God is an active God. Look at this chapter, at the different things it says about God and his acts and his works. Pay attention, if you would, in verse 4. It says, one generation shall praise thy works to another. One generation. Do you know what we ought to be doing? Whatever generation you're part of, you ought to be bragging on God to the next generation. Praising God and saying, you know what God did for me? Do you know what it would do for some of the kids in some of the families to see their mom and dad reading the Bible? Do you know what it would do to see mom and dad sharing the gospel with someone? that they say means so much to them, but they don't see it? Do you know what it would mean to our kids to see mom and dad faithful to church? Do you know what it would do to these kids to see that it's real? You see, we're supposed to brag on our God. It says one generation will praise the Lord for the things that he's done. You see, part of the problem, we don't have much to base it on because we don't trust God as much as we should in our lives in the first place. So we can't go to our kids and say, guess what God did for me? Because we didn't turn it over to him. Do you understand what I'm saying? We don't have that faith to say, God, what do you want me to do? And God, what is your direction? When we do, we got a lot. I lost some of you on some of that. Everybody look up here. We serve a great God. This generation, whatever generation you're part of, he is so great, we should brag on him to our kids and our grandkids. And if you got great grandkids, and it ought to be real. It ought not be, well, I remember one time many years ago, someone once told me that God worked in, it ought to be, God worked in my life. God provided what I needed. God sustained me when I was going through that trial. God helped me and gave me direction in life when I needed it. It ought not be someone else, someone else, someone else. It ought to be, that's my testimony, because our God is an active God. And if we don't have those stories to tell, guess where the problem is. It's not with God. He's eternal. Our God is great, and our God is active. If he's not active in our lives the way we want to see it, guess what? It's because we're not in the close relationship with the God of the universe like we should be. He's active. It says, praise, we'll praise thy works. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. Mighty. I'm not sure I've done one mighty thing my whole life. But God's middle name is Mighty. You know that, right? God is big. He is powerful. I'm joking about his middle name. You know what I mean. It's his quality. He is mighty. He does all things good. And he does it big. Notice in verse 5, the latter part. I'll speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous work. Verse 6, and men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts. That means big, awesome acts of God. In verse 10, it says, all thy works shall praise thee, O Lord, and thy saints shall bless thee. In verse 12, it says, I'll talk of thy power, verse 11, verse 12, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. You say, what do I got to brag on God about? All the mighty things that he's done. Now that's on a big scale. You look around. You look around. I love the mountains. Don't y'all? I love the mountains. I love what God has created here in the great state of West Virginia. The boys take every opportunity to let people know where they are from. They are born and bred in West Virginia. And I'm thankful for the mountains. I'm thankful for the trees. I'm thankful for the beauty of this world. And there's a lot of beauty in this world. Don't you agree? All of it was created by God. And you look at people and the marvel that we are, the human beings that we are and how our bodies work. God did it all. So on a general basis, God is big and he's great and he's active. But on the individual level, he's as active in our hearts and lives as we want him to be. I hope that you want him to be active. I'm thankful that the God of the Bible is eternal. He's not going to kick the bucket. I don't have to stress over that a bit. Second, I'm thankful that our God is great. He's amazing. He's superior, even beyond our comprehension. And I'm thankful that He is a God that is active. Some of you will appreciate this probably more than others, because others may have forgotten. But how would you describe a two-year-old toddler? I imagine that one of the words you might use to describe that two-year-old toddler would be active. Don't you just wish that you sometimes could have the energy of a two-year-old at the age that you are? I mean, you ever wondered that or thought that and said, boy, it sure would be nice. Active. That may not always be good that they're so active. But I'm thankful that my God is an active God. Today we've looked at three qualities of God. Three qualities of God. I put forth the nomination at the beginning of the sermon that I nominate our God as God of the year. How about you? Is there a second out there? Is there, you know, we got to do everything right. How many of you vote that our God is God of the year? Raise your hand up. If I don't see you, I'll assume that you're asleep. All right. I want everyone here to understand and appreciate the greatness of our God. The eternality of our God, the greatness of our God, and the activity of our God. And probably the best application I could have you to take home, and I'm not done in any way, shape, or form with this sermon series here. It's turned into a series this morning because I didn't cover even as much ground as I thought I might. But let me tell you, the part of applying it, and I believe God's Word is very applicable, don't you? I mean, honestly, if you come to church and you never get challenged or convicted by the Holy Spirit, there's something wrong. There really is. Because, yes, church is to encourage us. And today, hopefully I've encouraged you. Say, man, what a God we have. And I've just scratched the surface. What a God we have. And you leave here just kind of like, man, life doesn't seem quite as overwhelming today because I have a God that's bigger than that situation. I have a God that can work. But remember, I made the statement that God is as active in our hearts and lives as we let Him be. You see, we can stop God from being active in our hearts and life the way He wants to. Now, in a sense, I think God still works in our hearts and lives, whether we're obedient or not. But it's sort of like we talked about in Sunday school and we talked about at the Thanksgiving praise service. You know, the way to really be blessed by God, the way to really let God be active, is to make sure that you're letting Him have His way in your heart and in your life. Are you letting God have His way in your heart and in your life? Now, I'm praying. I'm praying for this church. I'm praying for you as an individual. I'm praying that God will use you. That God will use you in big ways. I pray quite often for everybody. I believe everyone that's here, unless you're visiting with us, you may not have made my list yet, but I'll try to add you to it. I'm praying that when you stand before Jesus, that you will have lived such a faithful life. Now, I know that that starts with salvation, and some might need to be saved. I know that that continues with obedience and on and on. But I pray often that every single one of you will hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And can I tell you today, in reference to what we're talking about, our God and how great He is, do you know the mechanism to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? The mechanism for that, if you will, or how's that going to happen? Is by surrendering your heart and life to the Lord. If you're lost, that means that first step is getting saved, okay? And I'd encourage you. In a little bit, you say, "Preacher, I'm here, I'm lost, I don't know Jesus. If I died right now, I'd split hell wide open because I've never trusted Him as my Savior." I'm going to be down front. As we sing here in a little bit, I want you to come down front and say, "Preacher, I want to be saved." You'll not regret it ever. But you know what? God wants to be active, more active in the life of our lives as Christians as well. Have you opened the door and said, Lord, I want you to be active. I want your will and your plan. I want to be obedient. I want to read your Bible. I want to pray. I want to be faithful. I want to tell more people about Jesus. I want to tithe. I want to do all that you want me to do, God. Are you willing to say that? As we sing here in a little bit, if that's your prayer to God, Lord, I'm here. I want you to be active. I want to be an open door to you. As a Christian, if that's your desire, don't do it because someone else does it. But as we sing, I want you to have the boldness. I want you to have the wherewithal to stand up, step out of that seat, as we sing here in just a moment, and come to the altar and say, guess what, Lord? I want to be an open door to you. I want to be an open door to let you work. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're such a big God, such an awesome God. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here that's lost without Jesus, I pray that today may be the day you're working on them. They're hearing that still small voice inside of them saying, I need to do something. I need to be saved. I pray that they may listen to that and come forward. Get my attention, Lord, and they can trust Jesus today. Pray and receive Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, get to know this God of the universe, the God of the Bible. I pray that they'll do that, bind Satan's hands to hinder them and stop them. And Lord, I pray for Christians that are here today. Lord, if the desire of any Christian today is, Lord, I want to be an open door to you. I want to let you work in my heart, in my life. I want you to be active. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to think the way you want to think. Want me to think. I want to just be a vessel of service to you. If that's their heart's desire. Some might say, well, I've done that before. Well, it wouldn't hurt to do it again. I pray that you'll give them the boldness to step out, Lord, today and say, Lord, here I am. I'm an open door. Use me as you see fit. Lord, take control of the invitation, Lord, because it's yours. It's yours alone. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.